So Crispy, this episode is going to be full of news. There's going to be so much to talk about. But since we've gone on call in the last couple of hours, there's been even more Doctor Who news. Do you want to hear it?
What's happened?
Tell me what's happened. Very sad news, Crispy. But I know how much of a big Fortnite gamer you are and how much you enjoy playing the Fortnite. It has been confirmed by an official Fortnite Leaks account that all the Doctor Who collaboration stuff was actually fake. It was fabricated by a known troll in the Fortnite community. So there is no Beat the Meep spray. Mr. TARDIS is gutted. He put it on a shirt. But I'm sorry, folks. The Fortnite crossover is not real. Crispy is so disappointed. Look at him. He's so disappointed now because he can't get his Beat the Meep spray in game. He can't do his Doctor Who emotes. He's really sad. I can't believe it. It's just a heartbreaking moment. Are you okay, Crispy?
Fortnite.
No, he's devolved into a 12-year-old like I did at Insomnia this weekend.
Fortnite.
I actually did that exact voice several times while walking past the Fortnite section, so I'm a little bit uncomfortable about that, I can't lie. But yeah, so expect more news like that in episode 102. Roll the intro! And welcome back to Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast. My name is Troy, his name is Crispy, and we're the hotline that accepts your calls all across time and space. And today is an absolute banger of an episode, as Crispy would say. It's an absolute banger, yeah. Say it.
It is an absolute banger.
You could have said it with a little bit more enthusiasm, man. I know it's like not even 7 a.m. for you, but come on, man, bring the energy.
You want the energy, you say?
I want the energy, right, don't start playing soundboard stuff again. Oh my gosh. He's like a kid that found the Smarty stash in the cupboard. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, you wanted some energy. We need to hype ourselves up. We got some news to talk about today. We got two trailers. We got title reveals. And Stephen Moffat returns? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, now I'm ready.
That's pretty good. That was pretty good. All right, well, welcome, everybody. Welcome to the March News Roundup for 2024 on Who's There, a Doctor Who Podcast.
My goodness.
We were literally just moaning about how bad February and January were for news, and then Russell went, "Do you know what? Just for you two, we're gonna really rack out the promotion. We've had two trailers barely a week apart. Is this the same show that we know and love, Crispy?
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But Mr. Crispy here has not seen the new trailer, and he doesn't know the new episodes. And he doesn't know that Steve... Okay, he knows that Stephen Moffat's back. He does know that bit.
I do.
He does know that bit. But we have been confirmed that, by the way, he is writing episode 3. I'll give you that much of a tease. The predictions were indeed correct.
Interesting.
So we're going to dive into that. And in this episode, I don't know how this is going to work in the audio version, folks, or the video version, really. Oh, the video version will be fine. It's on YouTube. I'm going crazy. We're live right now, but my brain isn't working. On the audio version, what we're going to be doing is there's going to be a section very shortly where Crispy's going to watch the trailer live. On audio versions, I am going to cut out the sound of the trailer because copyright, I don't want us getting flamed by the BBC. But I will make it clear when I hit play, and then you can sync it up if you want to listen to his reaction alongside, or just watch it on YouTube. It's easier if you want. I'll leave it to you to decide. But Crispy has got a reaction to do, you know? We're getting him out. He's like Dance Monkey. Get him to do the YouTube content for us. You know, give us some views.
It's been a while.
Put his face in the thumbnail and we'll get 20,000 views.
Since I've done a trailer reaction.
It's the man who watched old Doctor Who. Twice. Twice upon a time. Twice upon a time, mate.
Okay.
Are you excited, Mr. Crispy?
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from this. In the first frame of the thumbnail, I can see Shooty looking directly at the camera. So I'm wondering if this is like a talking headpiece the whole time. But we will see.
We will see.
We will see.
So you are, I presume you have your own local copy synced up with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got my own home slice here.
Is this on the official Doctor Who YouTube channel, as Peter Capaldi once said?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do 3, 2, 1, go. And on go, we'll both click play and we'll watch the trailer live together.
For the YouTube
listeners. And for audio, you can then sync it up if you wish. And then we can get right into it. We can talk all about the trailer. Then I can reveal the titles to you. And we'll have a nice old chat. And then we'll take some callers from our patrons, which I should always say, if you want to get your calls in every month during the new special of the podcast, which we do live, www.patreon.com/whostheredw. Select the appropriate tier that features monthly call-ins, and you can feature. But as of this month, it's the usual four that you used to. I've put in calls once again for this episode, and we'll dot them throughout the recording. Crispy, you ready to get going?
Yes. Yes.
Let's do it. All right, on go. 3, 2, 1, go.
I am ready for this. Oh, lots of new stuff. Whoa. Another Bridgerton reference? Space babies. Oh, here we go. Give me the emotional beats. No, you won't. You just won't. Oh, shooty. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. I can't believe that.
Are you enjoying what you see there?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if I enjoyed it as much as the first trailer, but it looks like there will be some scene much akin to the before the flood where, like, Peter Capaldi's talking to the camera type thing.
You ready for that?
Look at him. Look at him addressing everyone. Look at him there.
I thought that was going to be... just for the trailer, but it looks like there will be some... I get the feeling that episode one will start and end with Shooty talking to the camera directly, almost being like, hey, we know we're with Disney now, and there's going to be a lot of new viewers coming on. Let's guide them through this.
Will he be floating in space in any of it, or will it just all be in the TARDIS?
I don't think it will be a Disney thing where they go afterwards, be like,
Once upon a time,
maybe
Lord.
We could get... We could get David on a green screen. I think this time they were like, okay, no, we'll get at the actual start of the episode. That's my guess. And there were so many rumors for ages about babies in space, but I was like, oh, I don't know if I believe that.
Was there?
I don't know if I believe that. Yeah, I reckon for the last 6-7 months, I saw something. They were like, oh, episode one's gonna have all these kids in space, and I was like, I don't know if I believe that.
So you heard that season one, episode one was going to be full of space babies. That's what you're telling me.
Yes, I heard that.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, well, I thought that the episode titles were going to get released in this trailer too. Where's that?
Well,
So
what they did, for people who are a little bit behind on how they announced this, every half an hour this afternoon, they dropped title after title after title. And I did think, my biggest theory, and I'm sure you probably agreed, was that they'd do something like the 60th, whether it was like only a couple of new shots and slap the titles in as you're going along, maybe a new shot per episode. No, they released all the titles and then just dropped an entirely new trailer with no reference to the titles, which, by the way, I saw not an hour ago on BBC One on the main terrestrial TV. I was like, oh, here it is. And it was in full as well. I was like, ooh, this is pretty cool.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
My mom noticed it. She was like, this is Doctor Who on the main TV. And I went, watch. Well, they're really pushing this. I was like, damn right. That's what we love to see.
Damn right.
That's what we love to see.
Damn straight.
So, Crispy, you've got two options here. Either we can do a full trailer breakdown, give your overall thoughts and go through in detail, or I can add in the context of the episode titles and then we can go into a full chat about everything.
Let's do that.
You want the episode titles?
Yeah, I want to know. I was going to look this morning.
All right, well, do you know what? Let's leave Shooty's face on the screen for a bit longer. You know, I'm feeling cheeky.
Can you get rid of the little thing that's popped up on my screen?
What little thing? Oh, I can, yes. Oh, it says recording is uploaded.
Thank you.
It's gone. There you go. There you go. I know you get insecure when things are blocking your camera. Your face has got to be there in full. I understand.
Yeah, it's the money shot.
Exactly. Too right it is. That's the one that gets all the views, man. Come on. You're the Doctor Who YouTuber. All right. Here we go. Here we go. Every tweet has got the title of the episode, the writer, and the director. So we will go in that order. Actually, no, we'll save the title until the end. I'm going to mix it up. So, here we go. Season 1, Episode 1, is written by Russell T. Davies and directed by Julie Ann Robinson. And it is called Space Babies.
It is called Space Babies. Oh, my gosh. He's a madman, that Russell T. Davies. We're like, all right, we're gonna get everyone on board for Doctor Who. What are we going to call the first episode? You know, the 15th hour? No. The pilot? No. Space Babies.
There you go. That's what we're going with. And what do you think of that, Crispy? Let's get Crispy's thoughts for each title.
Okay. Not my fave title, but you know what? It's intriguing, it's quirky, it's weird, and I feel like that's what's needed for Doctor Who going forward. So it's not what I would have done, but I don't think it's too out of left field.
Fair enough. Okay. Season 1, Episode 2. Written by Russ T. Davies, directed by Ben Chessel, and it is titled The Devil's Chord.
It is called The Devil's Chord. I think that's the only one that we knew. But very good. It looks... There were some shots in that trailer from that episode, and I'm intrigued.
Love seeing them walk along Abbey Road. I hope they do that. Very glad they have. And Jinx Monsoon, first proper confirmation that she will be full American accent, because I wasn't sure... Because there was the video for Happy Birthday Doctor Who, when she sang that, she's like, Happy Birthday Doctor Who, and it's full American, and I was like, is she going to be doing that in the episode? Yep. So,
yep.
The bad guy is an American. Oh, in our silly little British TV show, can't believe, no, actually, I'm quite excited. Jinx looks amazing. I'm really keen for
Jinx
that.
Jinx looks great.
Okay. Season 1, Episode 3, as I confirmed to you moments ago, written by Stephen Moffat, and directed by Julie Ann Robinson, it is simply titled... Boom.
Ooh. I'm intrigued.
And there are, for context, little graphics on each of these, and you can just see on my phone here, boom.
Oh,
just an explosion.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
Gosh.
Just says boom. And in trying to show you that, I have now accidentally come off their Twitter page. Give me a moment while I get back on there. Bit of suspense for you. Any thoughts on boom?
Well, I'm just really excited for some more Moffat content after seven years or so. So... I think it'll be a pretty grounded story, almost as if he's grounded on a landmine.
Intriguing.
That's my guess.
Intriguing.
That's my guess.
Mm. Next up, Season 1, Episode 4, written by Russ T. Davies and directed by Dylan Holmes-Williams. It is titled 73 Yards.
Oh.
And there's a picture of what looks like sign for an inn that is titled the 73 Yards, and it's in the snow. So maybe some of the shots in the first trailer where Kate Stewart was saying things are getting supernatural might tie into that.
Wait, is like an inn a hotel?
Yeah, like a bar or a tavern or something. Like one of those little signs that flap in the breeze.
I just finished reading The Writer's Tale.
Oh, well, here we go. He has to mention it every week.
No.
No,
in that... Yeah, Russell T. Davies had this idea for a story set at a hotel, different to the God Complex, but it was... I can't remember. Anyway, he really wanted to do this hotel idea, and it had an old lady as a companion, but then it eventually turned into Planet of the Dead. But it all started off with the idea of a story set in a hotel with an old lady and alien shenanigans, and he really wanted to do it. He had, like, such a... strong idea for this episode, but that never came to be. So maybe when he's like, I'm back, he's like, I'm gonna finally do this damn thing.
That could be very true,
but we'll see.
Next up, Season 1, Episode 5, directed by Russ T. Davies. Written by him. Sorry.
Has he written 5 episodes?
Out of these five episodes, he's written 4 of them.
Oh my gosh.
So, Season 1, Episode 5, written by Russ T. Davies and directed once again by Dylan Holmes-Williams. It is called Dot and Bubble.
Dot and Bubble?
Hmm.
That gives me nothing. I literally have zero idea to what episode that is.
Again, let's bring up the little video on my camera. crispy. You can't quite make it out. It looks a little bit like the Wii menu screen, the Nintendo Wii. Like, there's some Mii drawings on there. I don't know if it's something to do with games or maybe a
dot
chat room,
bubble.
Possibly. Something to do with, you know.
Okay.
No, don't click dot, on the Wi-Fi.
Dot and bubble. Yeah, okay. It'll be, yeah.
Oh, someone, like, the people in the chat saying it is the Wii
menu. You're waiting for
a
text.
So,
oh.
Maybe it is the Nintendo Wii. Who knows? It's a bit of a rogue one. Speaking of which, Season 1, Episode 6, written by, of Loki fame, Kate Herron, as well as Bryony Redman, and directed by Ben Chessel. Season 1, Episode 6 is simply titled Rogue.
Oh my gosh, but this is exciting.
But the ask, just before you give your comments, Crispy, to give you a bit of a tease, it's an old formal invitation that says Rogue on it, and it says, invited by the Duchess of Pemberton. And we know the Duchess is a villain played by Indira Varma in this season, so sounds like she'll rear her head. I won't say ugly head, because she's lovely. She'll rear her head in this episode. What do you think of Rogue,
wow.
Crispy?
I'm excited for that one. It will probably be a breath of fresh air amongst all of Russell's episodes. I'm shocked how many he's writing. I can't believe that.
That's the problem with it only being 8 episodes. If he's writing like as many as he did for previous seasons, he's pretty much got the whole control of the season.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's this is just my personal opinion, folks. This might be my favorite episode title of the season. I like both of the final titles, but this might be my favorite one. Written by Russ T. Davies and directed by Jamie Donahue. Episode 7 of season 1 is titled "The Legend of Ruby Sunday."
Oh. Wow.
And the art for this one is the title on a few screens and a camera pointing at them glitching, perhaps. Going back to long-lost family, answers about parents, who knows?
Yeah, two-part finale. I'm smelling it. I'm smelling it.
Well, you'll be very happy to know then that episode 8, written by Russ T. Davies and directed again by Jamie Donahue, and Russ did confirm there would be a two-parter at some point in the past, so same director, same writer, it holds up. But season 1's final episode is titled Empire of Death.
Wow.
And
oh, I like that.
A TARDIS where police public call box, you can't see it on my phone, damn. But police public call box has been replaced by Empire of Death on the little art for it.
Oh
so,
my gosh. Oh wow, I'm so excited now.
Would you like me to speed you through them all once more?
Yeah.
Okay, here are the titles in order. Space Babies, The Devil's Cord, Boom, 73 Yards, Dot and Bubble.
I wasn't trying to do that.
Rogue. The Legend of Ruby Sunday and Empire of Death. They are your 8 episode titles for Doctor Who Season 1.
Wow. Wow.
Let's go back to full screen so we can get Crispy's face in higher definition.
I'm really impressed with that, actually.
Some people
in the chat are saying that Dot and Bubble is like this season's Wild Blue Yonder. Do we know nothing about Dot and Bubble? Because
I don't know
what that is.
Funny enough, I've tried not to associate footage and trailers to episodes as best I can. The only times I have, there's two episodes I really have. Well, technically three. One has been a few of the first episode shots because they're in the same outfits and they're like some of like Ruby's expressions and things like the dinosaur stepping on a butterfly feel very much like First Trip. But The Devil's Cord and Rogue are the two where I'm like, it's the most obvious where the footage is coming from. Because Devil's Cord
Correct.
Is like, you know, the 60s outfit, the Beatles stuff, and then Rogue, all the period stuff. Beyond that, I've been very conscious, I don't know about anyone else in the chat, but I've tried my best to not over-associate it. Because I'm kind of keen to just see things pop up and be like, oh, it's that shot.
Yeah, I'm kind of doing that too, because I enjoy the going into it not knowing too much. And, you know, I'm not necessarily reporting all the news on Crispy Pro anymore like I usually would. So I feel like I have a real chance to go in somewhat fresh, even though I knew Space Babies was a thing.
I had no idea. Unironically, had no idea that was a thing. So
it's Space Babies.
That's why I did like a little bit. You'll listen back to this podcast and you'll hear me say, so you're saying that season 1, episode 1 is just Space Babies. And that was the title.
Yeah.
I was being clever there. It's a rare moment, but it does happen every now and again. The Beast Boss in our chat is saying that someone met Russell and said the Dot and Bubble was very much like Wild Blue Yonder. So, who knows? Speaking of, should we take our first caller, Crispy?
Oh, yeah.
Let's have a nice little interval. These probably aren't about the titles because they only just came out a couple of hours ago. But let's have our first of 4 Patreon callers for this episode.
Who would you like
first? You know what? I just mentioned Beast Boss. Let's have him.
All right. Hello, Beast Boss. How you doing, mate? I hope it loads.
Hello, peoples. hold on to your hill, mill, and many, many photos of Tilly Steele, because it's Beast Boss time. Seeing as the Beast Boss's Simp Club now has its own theme song, I consider it a good time to ask you both this. If you could choose any song to be your own personal theme song, what would it be? Yep, we're making it out of Pumpkin Hill with this one. So while Troy boulders on my gate till I free, and crispy man, does whatever a crispy can, I'll be saying what I normally do at the end of these things. I'm reporting you to the council.
Beast Boss, you are one of a kind.
He really is one of a kind. I don't know if that's
you
a good or a bad thing.
You are certainly one of a kind.
I'm indifferent. I'm indifferent. Mm. Troy boulders on my gate till I three. What the hell,
Troy,
man?
Troy boulders on my gate.
Oh, don't get me started, because I'll mention about meeting Shadowheart at Insomnia this weekend. I'll mention it. It's right here.
Troy,
I've got a Polaroid on my
convention.
Desk. It's going in my bullet journal later. It's right there. Don't start opening the door, because it won't get shut. I have to admit, though, that is one of the coolest questions that we've ever been asked on this podcast. It's not a Doctor Who theme, so, yeah, but, like, that's a really good question. You could pick one song to be your theme song. That's... Ooh. I actually really don't know this. What would you say, Chris?
I've got it. My...
Did you mean to press that?
That's
the second
time
in this episode you've accidentally started music.
This one's my... This is my... My theme tune.
Oh, no. Please tell me. Oh, no.
Powered by Riverside.
There you go. Oh, powered by Riverside. Is that because you are powered by Riverside?
Yes. Well, if this podcast had a theme tune... No, it does. It's by the wonderful Sammy Chu.
It is.
Oh, gosh. That's a really, really tough question. I don't know. I want something epic. What's the song at the end of Shrek 2 that the fairy godmother sings?
Oh, I need a hero. Holding out for a hero,
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
So are you the person holding out for the hero, or are you the hero that they're holding out for?
It depends on the day. The song can apply to many, many a thing. Sometimes I am the hero. Sometimes I need some saving.
Wow.
You know?
That's inspirational.
Thank you.
I was really hoping by this point I would have an answer, and I'm really struggling. I don't know. This is such a tough question. I'm really struggling. Like, one song to sum you up. I mean, for this podcast, it probably have to be a Pale Waves one, so I'm trying to think of a Pale Waves one to, like,
I've got a whole album that could be for you. It's called Red by Taylor Swift.
Very funny. There is a song by Pale Waves called Red. So there we go. I'll say that.
Well, there we go.
Boom. There you go.
Boom.
Cool.
Stephen Moffat. Boom.
I just clapped and both of my shoulders cracked. The right one particularly violently. I have no idea if that came through on the mic, but I just suddenly aged 25 years on the spot.
So,
in other words, Crispy, if you want to help with my funeral arrangements, I'd really appreciate it. Look up some plane tickets so you can get over here and book the arrangements. Cheers.
No, I don't need any more. I booked some plane tickets last night.
Ooh, where to? Where are you going?
Maybe I can't tell you. Maybe
he actually hasn't told me, by the way. This isn't a bit. I didn't know he bought plane tickets.
Maybe it's a secret. Maybe it's for my birthday.
Is it for the thing you're doing soon that we were talking about before the episode?
No,
I was going to say, that's not plane worthy.
I don't need to fly for that. It is plane worthy, but I don't need to fly for that.
It's amazing video worthy. He's cooking, but it's not
plane
worthy.
Yeah, I'm cooking. That's going to be a big reveal.
All right. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. Thank you, Beast Boss, for your lovely call-in.
Yeah, thank you. Great question.
So
fantastic
back to business,
question.
Crispy. Big question for you, because you're our surrogate. You're the audience's surrogate for this episode. You hadn't heard any of the news, so you're the voice of the people here. Which of those episodes is your personal favourite, title-wise? Would you like me to read through them again to remind you, or can you remember them all?
No, I think I know my answer.
Oh, okay. And it is?
Well, I think the best titles, probably, as you say, are The Legend of the Sea Devil, Ruby Sunday, and the last one, The Empire of Death, I think.
Yeah.
That goes really hard. That is like, wow. Mm, well played. But... The one I'm most intrigued by is Dot and Bubble. And maybe that's because I grew up with a Nintendo Wii and have a lot of nostalgia for that. Maybe it's because that was a genuine surprise today. Like, a lot of the stuff we heard today, there were some surprises. But I think I was like, oh, I got no idea. I've got nothing. I've got no notes, which is good. But yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued. I'm I'm shocked that there aren't any more guest writers, and we kind of had all the guest writers announced to us before today. I would have thought that maybe we would have had another new writer, or maybe we would have had, like, I don't know, an old favourite like Mark Gatiss or someone come back. I'm not sure, but that's just my two cents. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, it's tough because... Again, if we look at like a standard Rusty Davies series, he's probably writing about as many episodes as he did before. And he's maybe... because the man has probably been sat on so many ideas for so long that he wants to get some of these into a season because he knows it'll make for a good overarching plot. There are arguments to be made that there aren't enough new talent being brought on, and I would agree with that. I don't think there is enough, but I'm also of a mind where I'm like, I'm glad to have a lot of Rusty Davies pen scripts in an overall season that... you know, will flow really well. This is not against Chibnall. Everyone knows how much I like Chris Chibnall and I like his stuff. Whether I think it's not quite as good as Russell's is irrelevant. I still like what he did. But I'm really keen to see another Russell season and see him write things out. I think the thing that makes it more upsetting is that out of the two people that aren't him writing an episode, one is someone else who's had more than enough time with Doctor Who. But again, on the other side of the coin, I literally tweeted this earlier, I am so excited to be saying in like just over a month's time, we're going to have a Stephen Moffat penned episode in Doctor Who again. That's extremely exciting for me. So
that's crazy.
It's a really tough one because it's very much in the middle of like, I get it and I'm upset and I'm also not too bothered because I can get both sides. I don't really know what side to sit on. But I am really excited that the one that has got a new writer is Kate Herron because I really loved her work with Loki Season 1 and I'm keen to see her write for Doctor Who. Because she directed it. I don't think she wrote any of Loki Season 1. I'm going to do a quick little Google to double check.
I'm pretty sure she was a director.
She definitely was the lead director. Like, she was kind of like the overarching director of Season 1. But I don't know if she wrote for Loki. Let's have a very quick look. In August 2019, it was announced she would be directing and executive producing the first season of Disney Plus series Loki. So there you go. It's also was announced. I didn't realize. I think I remember hearing this now. Yeah, in January 2024, it was also announced Kate Herron would be a director on the second season of The Last of Us. And she's also involved with the film on the Sims video game franchise, which she will co-write with Bryony Redman, who co-wrote Rogue with her for Doctor Who.
Whoa.
There's some overlapping things here. And did you hear about the Sims movie, by the way? Because that's being done by Margot Robbie's
being
production
company.
Being
produced by Margot. Yeah. Of course, I'm all over that.
My brain. Wow. Woof.
That's some good research. Well done.
Thank you very much.
Good work on the fly there.
Speed typing, look, baby.
Yes. Okay. So you've absolutely nailed it on the head there. I think that this will probably be the most consistent series of Doctor Who we've had in a while. In terms of linear... I mean, well, in saying that, we did have Flux, which was one linear story. So apart from that... this will be more episodic than that, I imagine, but we'll have that classic RTD tease where something is going through. It will most likely be around Ruby's mum finding out that identity, and then we've got there'll probably be some other storyline happening, whoever this Empire of Death is. Maybe it's the TARDIS, as teased in that image. Maybe the TARDIS is an Empire of Death because of all the companions who have died over the years. Maybe the Doctor is the Empire of Death. We don't know.
We don't. Yet. Do you want to feel
but
old?
We will. Yeah, I do. I was feeling old like a couple days ago.
Well, I was feeling old about 10 minutes ago.
How old I'm going to be.
Cracked my shoulder, so we're both old men. But season one will have the first two-part story in Doctor Who for approximately 52 months.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. When was the last... two-parter.
It was March 2020 with Ascension of the Cybermen and the Timeless Children. Because it'll be around about July when we get the two-part finale. It might be late June, actually. So maybe just under 54 months, but it'll be 4 years and 4 months-ish since the Timeless Child.
I can't. 4 years since then.
Isn't that insane to think that it's been that long? I can't believe it's been that long.
Gosh, if only there was like... a big event that would happen in March 2020 that I could remember that time more.
Sarah Glover in the chat saying it's Wilf. I wouldn't count Wild Blue Yonder in the giggle. Like, my rule for two-parters is if it's a story that, like, actually connects between the two episodes. Like, there's a plot that leads into the next one. And that's why I always think Rusty Davies saying that Series 3 didn't have a three-parter. The Mass is in all three episodes. Like, the whole way. It's just not revealed until the end of the first one he's there. So... He can say as much as he wants. I don't care. But sorry, Russell, I you would not be delighted to hear that one. But yeah, like an actual consistent two-parter where the plot connects across the two episodes. Oh, apparently the chat is having a different conversation to me. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to get involved with my live chat for our live stream. I'm so sorry, folks. Good grief. Blimey.
Okay. Crikey. Well,
we've had your favourite title, Crispy. It might be a bit downer to say this, but I'm just intrigued. Do you have a least favourite title out of them? One that makes you go, it's all right, I guess.
Probably Space Babies.
Yeah, it's a weird title, isn't it?
Can you imagine if we started off the series with a story called The Empire of Death? I feel like people are going to click on that more. Maybe not. Maybe the Space Babies title is so ridiculous and so outlandish. Mm. But I don't know. Do you agree with Space Babies being your least favourite?
I'm not sure. Space Babies is a bit of a goofy one. And I'm kind of like, I don't know. For a first episode name, it is a bit strange. But I'm going to be a bit of a rogue person here. I'm not going to pick Rogue. Rogue is like there. But Boom is a bit, I don't know. Maybe it's because we already have an episode called Boom Town. And I'm a bit like, it's a bit too familiar. But feels a bit too simple, especially for Stephen Moffat, the man who is the least simple writer in Doctor Who's existence. I don't know.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, he's had the Big Bang. He's had...
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's one-word titles. I think unless the one word really, like, makes you go, wow. Like, listen.
Mm.
Like, ooh, listen to what?
Blink,
yeah. Boom and Rogue, both of them are a bit... Like, I'd probably put those both at the bottom, but I don't dislike either, if that makes sense. So it's my usual cop-out of I love everything, but I do like them all, but they'd be at the bottom, I think, personally.
I can almost guarantee you it will be my favourite episode of the series.
Boom.
Purely because I've got that Moffat bias, and I'm built that way. But I feel like...
He's insufferable.
If a man of Stephen Moffat's calibre has been sitting on an idea for 7 years, mm-hmm. and he finally gets the call to say, hey, you want to come back for another go? I think, we've all said it before, like, Moffat's stories during Russell T. Davis's first run are absolute classics. They are classics that have been remembered and will be remembered for generations. And so maybe I'm far too optimistic that Moffat can repeat his success once again. But I'm excited to see some more Doctor Who from the man. But I'm happy to be surprised from Russell. I think Russell will be unbelievably consistent this series. Because much like Moffat, you know, Russell's been sitting on ideas for much longer. For the past 14 years. So I'm just very excited. I'm excited for some new Doctor Who. I'm excited for some familiar faces. Should there be more new faces? Probably.
Absolutely.
But you know what? If the stories are good, it won't matter. Maybe we can spice things up a bit in season two. But I'm just keen.
What?
I'm just keen as a bee.
Season two have like have like 7 episodes written by Russell T. Davies and then the other one written by Moffat.
Yeah, the other one's Chibnall.
Oh, yeah. My God, imagine. That would be... Oh. I'd love to see
did
a season
you see
with
his
all...
post?
Oh, actually, wait, hang on. Wait, Chibnall's post?
No. Russell's post where he was talking about when Moffat returned.
No?
And he said as soon as he got the job, he made 2 phone calls. One was to Moffat and the other one was to Chibnall. And Moffat said yes and Chibnall ran away.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Chibnall said thanks, but no thanks.
I'm
but
guessing...
apparently he was offered.
I'm guessing Chibnall probably just said it was a bit too soon. But...
Oh, yeah. I think there might be a chance in the future. Hey, if Chibnall wants to do more Who work for the spin-offs, which I think he very well could, I think there's a chance there that he's writing your 14th Doctor spin-off show.
I'm telling you, it's happening, man. I cannot wait
to
prove you wrong. I can't wait. Like
I'm so excited for the battle between land and sea.
I can't. Watch that end up happening as well. I hope that one doesn't. I really do. But I'm telling you now, 14th Doctor spin-off is happening.
It's not.
It is.
Everyone in the chat, let us know.
Society is often reshaped by the views of the minority and not the majority. The majority rules, but sometimes it only takes one to facilitate change. So I don't care what you all say in your little live chat. We're having your own little conversations. It's happening.
Let's take a call from Grace. How are you,
What's Grace got to say?
Today? Grace,
hi, Troy. Hi, Crispy. That's all right. I called, I asked how y'all were doing, so I'm going to instead flip it around, and here's an update on me.
Don't care.
I'm going to be teaching middle grade history, starting in about 9 days from the time you're hearing this.
Oh, wow.
As well as my usual French class that I always have been teaching since I started working at the school I work at. Very excited, a little bit nervous, which is my favorite mix of emotions when I teach. So my question's actually related because the class I'm teaching is specifically about like the exploration of places like Africa and North and South America. So I was wondering if you folks would have some thoughts around an episode where Shudi's doctor gets to explore medieval Africa, and how would you see aliens and time travel fitting into it? Talk to you soon. Bye.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Well, good luck for your class, Grace.
Best luck. Excited and nervous is a really, really good range.
And one I relate to intensely from my teaching experience. So, yeah, I can fully sympathize with that.
But look, I'm all for exploring real history in Doctor Who, no matter where the location is. And Africa is just gorgeous. And Doctor Who films there all the time. And pretend it's Australia, but it's not. But yeah, I think Africa is gorgeous. I went there as a very, very young man. And
yeah, it's my favorite Toto song.
Yes, and it's a great song.
Sorry,
have I told you my Africa story, Troy?
No. Was it going to take a lot to drag me away from you?
Oh my goodness. So I think it might be one of my earliest memories. I was about three or four years old, and I remember sleeping out in the like living room area, and that night we had a barbecue and left like a sausage or something on the barbecue without realizing it.
Hello, Sailor.
And I remember seeing a hyena come and grab it off the barbecue.
Was it laughing while it did it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, if it didn't laugh, what was the point, man?
Yeah, it's crazy. It was absolutely crazy.
A hyena grabbed your sausage.
A hyena grabbed my sausage.
Damn. I wish I had such an exciting story.
Your thoughts, Troy?
If I have any thoughts on that, we're going to get age rated. I don't like the idea of that. You know what, folks? The lesson to learn from that is don't let a hyena grab your sausage. There we go. Thank you very much, Grace, for offering that insight to prompt that. But yeah, I'd love to see. I mean, the medieval era has always been something that I've been really intrigued by, but I've never thought of medieval Africa. That's an interesting thing, of which I have very little knowledge. And
yeah, I don't
so
know a
I,
lot, but
I'd
that's the good thing about Doctor Who, is that we could learn something about real life. I would love to watch an episode and then be like, oh, that was crazy, and then do some research after and be like, oh my gosh, that was true.
Yeah. It'd be really good.
I'm all for that.
Well said, Crispy. You know what? That's well said. That's really well said. I'm currently just editing an Instagram post, by the way. So it looks like I'm not listening to you, but I'm literally just messing around with sliders on a photo. So you do have my full attention, just making that aware. I told the chat earlier there was going to be a bit where I'm doing an Instagram post for the InsomniaCon I was at. So I've just done all my photo editing. Aren't I cool, Crispy? Multitasker.
Oh my gosh. Troy's commitment to this podcast is unmatched.
Listen, man,
it's unmatched.
I created it. It's my child, so I'm allowed to occasionally edit an Instagram post, okay?
Hey, let's take a caller. Connor,
he doesn't agree.
Hello.
He doesn't agree. What on earth?
Connor. Hello, Connor. How are
Connor,
you?
Connor, let's go. Come on.
Hello, Connor. Please.
Is Connor
please
there?
Work for me.
I don't think Connor's
hey
there.
Hey, guys. I sadly didn't get time to make anything this month, but I have something else. I have a friend who works at a high-end restaurant in London, and she actually witnessed a couple breaking up. She actually managed to record some of the argument, and it's actually incredible because there is a strong link to Doctor Who.
Oh, no.
And when she sent it to me, I was like, I have to show the boys. So enjoy this one, and I'll catch you guys next month.
Oh, no.
I want you to go.
You can't! Me and you, it's not going to work out. You've only been here 3 days. It'd be the three weirdest days of my life.
What is a coincidence but a form of accident?
Doctor, please.
Two things bumping together unexpectedly.
Like you and me.
Oh, please. Come on, I need something. I am rubbish at this.
Time travellers are great. Like the best, like wow.
Everybody loves you and you're better at football than me and my job.
Excuse me.
Hey, watch this, watch this. Watch.
Has anyone ever told you that you're a bit weird?
No!
Capaldi!
He always ends it with the Capaldi no. That's like you know, like in a Lil Nas X song, we hear like day check, take it to 10 at the start of a song. You always have a no at the end of a Connor voice message every time.
Like a producer tag.
Yeah, it's his powered by Riverside.
Wow. I can't believe it.
Nothing else other than...
Yeah, that's what Connor's
there. Connor, I'm officially giving you, and this is the first ever one in Who's There history, I'm giving you the Who's There 1 minute license. I'm increasing your audio cap so you can now do up to 1 minute with no shame, because I'm not kidding you. These calls give me life. They give me life. They're so good.
The Who's There 1 minute license.
Are you agreed? So are you in agreement, Crispy?
Yeah, they're funny. Yeah, they're funny for me.
You get the 1 minute license. We're seeing Chris Nepro. Hang on.
Chris Nepro?
I just saw your knee. Oh. It's Chris Nepro. I can't believe you're not wearing shorts.
Yeah, I know. It's cold. I'm wearing a jumper today.
Oh.
The sun wasn't even up when we started recording.
So you can't see any sun for, I don't know, about the next 73 yards?
I can't see my son for the next 73 years after that court case.
What court case?
Shall we take another caller?
We got one more. Let's do it. Let's do it. Because then we have to talk about Moffat specifically, you know, about what we want from what we've talked a bit about. Chris.
Sorry.
I'm getting
GW
cut off
14.
By our callers now. Do you know what? Maybe I should just go. No, I should go.
No, stay here. I should go. DW14. No, okay. Troy's gone. All right. DW14 has sent us the final caller of today. Let's have a little listen.
Hello, Crispy and Troy Berculosis. My question today is, with the finale, do you think there will be a new villain or a returning villain? Maybe not from what we've already seen in the modern era. Maybe we might have a returning villain from the classic era, like the Vervoids or something like that. So, which one would you like back? And if so, what alien would you like to see?
Great question.
We are not fantastic making Troy Berculosis a running bit. I am calling that right
Troy
now.
Troy Berculosis!
I will mute that word in the live chat. I will delete any callers who say that. Don't you dare.
Troy Berculosis!
Don't
That's
you
so good.
Dare.
Oh,
I had to
my
message
God.
Saris and tell him he was a not epic gamer for saying that. I didn't really. I said I hated him, but said I was joking. I do not appreciate that, and you can knock that off right now. Thank you very much, Chief. Thank you very much.
Hey,
live chat. Look, you watch it. I'm seeing you all saying it. All right, you watch it. I mean, no one spelt it right yet, but it is quite funny watching everyone try to spell Troy Berculosis.
Me when I don't spell Troy Berculosis.
There you go,
right?
Kate Riley. Well done. You first one to get it right.
Oi, oi, oi.
Okay. Anyway, although I will give you fair play to you. That is a really good question. And I can absolutely see Russell being like, hey, returning villain, but it's not one you've seen in ages. What about the Rani? I'll be that guy, but, you know, Russell T Davies, in two of his runs, in two of his series in his first era, had a two-part finale that was preceded by an episode that led into it. Series 3, you could honestly say, was a three-parter. I'd let you get away maybe with Turn Left, because that's kind of like a Wild Blue Yonder, where it kind of out of nowhere goes, here's what's coming in the next two episodes. But, I did say to you a little while ago, Crispy, and I'm not the only one who said this. I wouldn't even begin to lay claim to it. If I could, I absolutely would. But I did think it was possible for the Duchess to be the Rani. So what
we
if...
We did think that the Duchess was going to be a larger role, didn't we?
Well, Rogue ties is... Rogue's right before the two-part finale. So if they did want to pull the rug under our feet and be like, it's the Rani, and then straight into the two-part finale... Boom. I see Grace in the live chat saying Rani can't happen, but I like your vision. I don't know why it couldn't be the Rani, but it's Doctor Who. If the Master can die in 50 different ways and then come back, then they could do it with the Rani. Who cares?
Hang on a second. So you want the Rani in there, and...
Not
that
once, just a prediction.
Okay, well let's just imagine for a second that the Rani is in there.
She's Ruby's mom.
If you rearrange the words... If you rearrange the word rogue in all the letters, it actually does spell out Rani. How you
I have faith that you were going to offer a really insightful like analysis there. And then when you went rearrange, I mean, he's going to say it rearranges to Rani, isn't he?
Yeah.
I clocked it and went, oh no.
Oh, we have fun. We have fun.
Oh, okay.
Sure, why not?
Mr. Scarlow in the chat says, I doubt the Rani will return. The initial creators have died, and we don't know what happened with their estate and who now owns the rights to the Rani.
Oh.
Well, it could be... Well, just because we don't know doesn't mean that behind the scenes Russell didn't know or maybe looked into it to figure out if that's the case. Look, I'm not like a number one Rani campaigner. I've literally seen part one of Time and the Rani. I know jack about her, but I'm just thinking it could be an interesting theory for like a returning villain.
Bring back the Crotons. That's what I say.
No.
Give me the Crotons.
No.
They're iconic.
No.
They got spinny heads.
No.
Give me the Crotons.
No. If you don't get the reference, Crispy watched Old Doctor Who again the other week, and the Crotons was an episode that he watched, and everyone went, why did you watch that? And it was because one person in his comment section said it, and that is why, as I said earlier, it only takes a minority, one person, to make a change in society, and that one person ruins that section of Crispy's video. No.
It's true.
Yeah, it is true, in fairness, but I didn't want to meet that person.
What an episode. Okay, well, that's cool. Great question. Great question.
And that's the end of the podcast. Thank you all for listening now. So, bye, Crispy. Guys. Specifically, what else have you got to add from not only the new trailer, but also Stephen Moffat? We need to wrap up both of these. We've got things to say about them, right? We've got things to talk about. What do you hope from Moffat? Let's get your thoughts on Moffat. What do you, like, well, as a man, as a family man, what do you think of Stephen Moffat?
I'm excited that it's not part of a larger story. I'm excited that it's not co-written. It's just going to be like absolutely crazy Moffat writing, and it will be. I want Moffat to deliver on the humor, but I also want Moffat to deliver on the high stakes of the episode, because I feel like that's something Moffat does quite well. Is he's very good at making it quite lighthearted, but at the end of it, you're like, oh my gosh, I really hope that everything works out here. Or like there'll be some kind of clever resolution at the end of the episode that make you go, oh my god, how did I not think of something like that? You know, for example, Blink. One of the most satisfying bits of that is when you think the Doctor's leaving Sally Sparrow behind, but he's actually making it so that the angels are all looking at each other. That's so Moffat.
Yeah.
That is so unbelievably Moffat, and I feel like we're going to get that kind of thing with this episode. I'm assuming that the boom is the landmine episode where Shooty's wearing that leather jacket. So if Shooty is just stood on a landmine the whole time, maybe that will restrict the performance, but maybe it will make us focus more on Shooty's performance, and it will be more of a dialogue piece rather than an action-heavy episode,
yeah.
Which I'm all right with. Or maybe more Ruby heavy. Maybe Ruby is the one that has to kind of solve this problem for the Doctor because the Doctor can't move. That's fun.
Maybe we'll get out like a Doctor Light episode. Do you think that's too bold to assume?
I don't think that's too bold to assume. The Legend of Ruby Sunday sounds like it's going to have quite the focus on her. It might not be Ruby solo adventure, but it might have way more of a focus. But maybe I don't
true.
Know.
True, and it could tie into what I said last week with you and Therese about how we might have that narrative device where, you know, you jump back and see. There must be a term for it. Someone must know. So there's got to be some film nerd out there more than I am with my blooming terms of dolly zooms and stuff. But where they, you know, they don't show you the whole scene, then later on in the story they cut back to it and be like, here's the bit we didn't show you.
Yeah, there is a term. It's called retroscoping.
Is that actually what it's called?
Yeah.
Look at this man. He knows his things. Is it actually?
I just made that up.
I hate you. That actually could be the term. That's a really good term for it. If it's
I
not,
know.
I like that.
I was trying to. Have you ever played that Jackbox game where you have to make up like
Quiplash.
Names for? Yeah, I'm a beast at that. I am a beast boss at that.
It's great.
Genuinely.
I
love that stuff.
I just like Jackbox. Anyway. Jackbox is fun.
It is.
Not
we should
flashback,
do it sometime.
Because flashback goes back in time to something that's set in context. And like, I don't think it's quite the same thing. It's not foreshadowing, because that teases something that's going to happen later. And it could be a cutback, I suppose. That's
yeah, maybe a cutback.
Yeah,
cutback
big lock
reveal.
That's quite close. I think that could be it.
Let's just call it a cutback reveal.
Cut back to reality and watch your profanity.
Oh no, Jack. The term's actually called Wedding of River Song. That's what it's called. Whenever a TV show or a movie does that, it's called, oh, they're doing a Wedding of River Song.
And the wedding, if they were doing a Wedding of River Song, it'd be a story that makes very little sense, jumbles around the place, and confuses the average viewer.
But some funny moments.
Like what?
Oh, the bit on the train's pretty good.
Okay, I'll give you that. Jeremy Duncan cool. wants to know when's it going to be a Who's There Jackbox stream.
Yeah, if can we make like any of the Jackbox games like Doctor Who related, because that could be a fun stream.
Hmm.
I think there is like a version of Quiplash or something where you're the one that makes all the questions or all the prompts.
Well, so I will look we into could, it.
Yeah.
I will look into it. Chekhov's gun's what I found online. No, Chekhov's gun's not quite the same thing. That's the theory that if you set up something important to the plot in the first act, it then has to be used in the third act.
Yeah. When we finish this podcast, Troy will actually put on his dressing gown that's been dangling in the background.
Ah, see, the whole, see. Yeah. Well, I didn't in the episode. Mm. They haven't heard that. That was in the intro for the live stream. But yeah, my door is open because my room's really hot, and you can see a dressing gown just draped over a Last of Us Part 2 poster. Actually, yeah, quite topical with the tattoo. I really have to admit, I really like seeing this on the camera. It's only temporary, but I love it.
Yeah.
Once again. Cool. Although everyone I saw at the convention this weekend was like, oh, wow, I love your tattoo. Is that new? And I went, no, it's temporary. Not a single person guessed that it was temporary, which is like a huge compliment. So shout out Aluna Creates.
Very real.
Shout out to Aluna Creates on Twitter and Instagram because it's her store that I got it from and it's been her.
What if it is real?
Maybe one day it will be.
Oh, damn.
I'm considering it. I'm considering it. It looks good. Do you not think, Crispy? Do you not think it looks good?
Oh, we don't have any more callers.
We don't have any more callers. We don't. We've run out. We fell off.
Oh, we fell off. We fell off. Plus ratio.
Well, you know what? I tell you what. Let's get last moment and let's involve the live chat in this episode. Everyone, I want your favorite episode title from season one in the chat.
Please.
Let's see what the most common one is. As a reminder, we have... Oh, go on, Crispy.
You go. No, you go. You go.
Oh, it's my memory game. I'm trying to do it off the top of my head. We have Space Babies, The Devil's Cord, Boom, 73 Yards, Dot and Bubble, Rogue, Legend of Ruby Sunday, and Empire of Death. Boom, there you go. I've
got
them all nailed.
Oh my gosh. Well done.
The ADHD really kicking in there, baby.
Wow. So while everyone's giving us their favourite episode titles, Troy, how do you feel about Moff being back?
I really can't wait. I mean, there's an argument to be said that his best moments were when he wasn't the showrunner, and I don't mean that against his era. I love his era. Like, I think what he wrote was fantastic, but you look at the six episodes he penned in Russell's era, and they were all 10 out of 10s, I think you can make a case for. You know, we've got Empty Child, The Doctor Dances, Girl in the Fireplace, Blink, Silence in the Library, Forest of the Dead. They are all almost completely perfect episodes. And so to have an episode potentially of that caliber snuck into a new season, I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled by that idea, and I cannot wait, and I really hope it's as good as it could be in my head.
That's good.
There you go.
I'm excited.
Crispy is now typing, so while he does that, I'm going to read out... Oh, he's put Space Troy in the chat. The Devil's Troy. Are you really making every episode my name? Are you really doing that? No, go on, stick to it. Keep doing it.
I was trying to remember all the...
73 Troys. Troy. 73 Troys. Go on, and keep
73
going.
73 Troys.
And then Dot and Bubble...
Troy and Bubble.
Okay, and then Rogue.
Troy.
And then The Legend of Ruby Sunday.
The Legend of Troy Sunday.
Troy Red Arch Alive. And then Empire of Death.
Empire of Troy.
Okay, so we have Space Troys, The Devil's Troy, Troy, 73 Troys, Troy and Bubble, Troy, The Legend of Troy Sunday, and Empire of Troy. Do you know when you say a word too many times out loud and then it starts to sound weird? You've done that to my name now, so cheers for that, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Oh, man.
So what's everyone saying?
So
what's
let's scroll saying? Back up. I like Josh YouTube saying Orphan 52 and then Orphan 57 or something, 56, but you're wrong. I'm seeing Empire of Death, Legend Ruby Sunday, 73 Yards... Devil's Cut. I'll be honest, there's a good pattern here of different episodes. I think Empire of Death might slightly be winning, though, from the look of it.
Yeah, Empire of Death seems to be. I really like those.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a banging finale.
I do.
I really hope it pays off.
You know what I think? I think it's going to be a banging season.
It'll be alright.
Okay, well, either way. Well, thank you very much for listening to episode 102 of Who's There, Doc 2 Podcast.
Wow. I can't believe it.
The numbers, man. Crazy. It's crazy. No, we don't have a poll time, Beast Boss. We haven't got a poll. Although, Crispy, how should we do a poll for the episode titles? Because we can only have up to four options on YouTube. So that would be, it might be five options, but that would make it even more awkward. So I don't really know what I'd do there.
Hmm. Who's your favourite Doctor Who writer for this season?
Good question. That's a good question.
We'll have to think about that. There are four options. We can't have all this dead season. Air.
There are four options this season. Russell T Davies, Stephen Moffat, Kate Herron, or Bryony Redman. There you go. Job done.
Two are in the same episode.
Yeah, one of them is in eight, six of them.
Yeah.
We'll do like favourite episode titles, part one and then part two, and then whichever one wins out of the both of them, we can have a face-off between the two.
We can have a royale.
Although I do feel like Ruby Sunday, Legend of Ruby Sunday and Empire of Death are going to be the two most popular, and they'll be in the second poll.
They're in the last
category. You know what I could do? I can make a poll of episodes 1, 3, 5, and 7, and then 2, 4, 6, and 8, and then Legend of Ruby Sunday and Empire of Death are split
Sold.
Up. See if they both
Sold.
Win.
Yep.
There you go. We'll keep an eye out in the community tab for those polls, and I'll try and do them quite close together, so vote for them when you see them, and I'll see if we can pop them into the next recording session whenever we record that.
Absolutely brill.
But for the meantime, next thing you hear from us is the next episode watch along, because I've just realised, Crispy, you sent me that file and I didn't put it on Patreon. I'm very, very sorry. It's a busy week.
I thought so.
I had a lot of things going on.
I thought that might be the case.
Sure. If you think so, next time, just give me a kick up the arse, mate. But I will, yeah. Patrons, I'll slap them on right now, right before the turn of the month. So we watched Midnight together.
You can post it at midnight.
Oh, post it at midnight going into April. That's a good idea. Yeah, there you go. We watched Midnight. It was a really good watch along.
We had a nice little chat.
You know, we talked about some fun things in the middle of it. We did watch the episode for most of the time, but you know, we do get distracted sometimes. It's a fun time. So go and check out the Patreon. Again, patreon.com/who'stheredw, and you can subscribe to get episode watch alongs. Check the tier information for which ones you want to sign up for. We would greatly appreciate you all being there. No, it's not an April Fool's. We did record it and I genuinely forgot. I mean, if you want me to be serious for a second, I had a funeral and then I was away for a convention, so I just did not remember to upload it. It wasn't anything malicious. Crispy sent me the link and I went, there it is, downloaded it, and just didn't upload it to Patreon. So I'm so sorry, but I will get it up at the turn of midnight. That's a really fun idea. So in an hour and 15. Anyway, we're still on the Spotify folks right now, and the audio folks, so you all heard that. How you doing, Apple Podcast listeners? Hope you enjoy the video version.
He got it in. Oh.
And shout out to my mum, who I've seen has now popped up in the chat. And suggest that Crispy Empire was the best episode title.
Yeah, that Crispy Empire is going to be fantastic.
I like that.
Fantastic episode.
But we're going to end it there. So, Crispy, have you got any closing comments?
Boom.
Thank you all very much for listening. We'll see you all next week where we talk about a topic. We have decided it, but I can't remember what it is. So I'm sure it'll have a big impact on us. There's your little hint. But thank you all very much for hanging out. Much appreciated. And we'll see you all very soon. Keep an eye out later this week for the announcement for that call-in, because again, that's something else I forgot to do. I will put that out tomorrow, Crispy, and
it's
then we'll
be
record
one.
Later in the week. So when you see that, call in soon, because there might not be a long turnaround on that one. But thanks all for watching. We'll see you all next time in the next episode. Until then, it's goodbye from Crispy.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me. Goodbye, and see you all next week. Alan Z, baby.
Alan Z.
Oh. I can hear my mum listening to that downstairs. I heard it go high-pitched and heard my mum laugh. Wait, hang on. And there she is laughing at me saying that. Bye, everyone.
Bye.